All right, welcome to Thursday, May 14th. How's everybody doing? Welcome to Chicago Music Revealed. I'm Mike Jeffers, Chicago Jazz Magazine, chicagojazz.com, and the program director and entertainment director at the Epiphany Center for the Arts, soon to be opening up here in Chicago. Hopefully everybody is doing well. Looks like the sun actually just came out finally after our torrential rains here in Chicago, but I know we have viewers all over the country watching this, so I thank you. I love the fact that we're getting a lot of comments, a lot of questions in. We're getting hit up by artists throughout the entire country to come on the show. And that's the whole point of this. You know, during this COVID-19 situation, this is episode 34. And we've been doing it Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. But programming notes, starting next week, we're going to start doing it at 6 p.m. Chicago time to try to catch a little bit more of that live audience. And also we'll be able to preview some of these live streams that happen every night online throughout the country. So if you have something coming up, be sure to hit us up. Hit us up in the comments. Leave us a DM, email, info@chicagojazz.com, all that good stuff. And, of course, as I always say, I'm running the board. I'm running the tech stuff. I'm a drummer. So when I start screwing things up, it's my fault, and I don't care. So what are you going to do? Just bear with me. And today is going to be an exciting show. We have Oscar Hernandez coming on here in 1 second. He is the artistic director of the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. They've got a brand new project, brand new recording just about to come out called Latin Jazz Project. We're going to talk all about him. It's a 3-time Grammy-winning orchestra. And Oscar himself is incredibly accomplished. I don't know how much we're going to get into his career because we could probably talk for 2 hours about his career, but this is exciting. So I'm going to bring him on. He's out in L.A., and he's sat down to join us here for a quick interview. Oscar, how are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, and thank you to Chicago Jazz for doing such a great job out there with the music, man. God knows we need you guys. So happy to be here, sharing some time with you, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. And just reading over everything, I mean, I was familiar with your playing and your career somewhat, and then I really delved into it. And like I said before I brought you on, we could talk for a very long time about everything you've done. But first off, we're going to talk about this new release, and we're going to talk about the Spanish Harlem Orchestra. I believe it's – has it been 20 years now that you guys have been around? I thought I was reading that you started it like in 2000 or so, and then you started recording in 2004, maybe, was the first release.
Well, technically the idea was born in year 2000, but the record didn't come out till the year 2002, so technically we're into the 18th year, and that's when the band started. So 2002, 2003 is when we've been working, you know, full-fledged with the orchestra and traveling all over the world. Garnering an incredible recognition, I must say, that I'm proud to say, man.
That's what I was impressed with. And before I want to talk about the history of the band, and I mean, you guys have won 3 Grammy Awards. The most recent one you just won with, I think it was the last recording, right? Anniversary you just won. And so let's talk about this new recording, but I was reading something on the website and I loved what it said. It said you're building a bridge between Latin and jazz music. And I'd love to get your take on what that bridge is, because, you know, everybody always says, oh, it's Latin jazz music. Oh, it's Latin jazz. I mean, you know, sitting there, I mean, there's Afro-Cuban, there's all sorts of different styles of Latin music. I mean, what's, you know, Latin jazz music? What's your definition of like Latin jazz music?
Well, I mean, Latin jazz is a genre that's now going into its probably 70th year when you think about it. You know, its early origins, it started with getting notoriety when Dizzy Gillespie was taken with the music and his collaboration with Chano Pozo and writing such tunes like Manteca and Night in Tunisia and Tintindeo, yeah. But there were so many other people that were part of the fabric of what Latin and jazz was. And it was an incredible marriage because, you know, the history of jazz is so incredibly rich and so, it's just such an amazing music. And then you get the same thing as far as Latin music, you know. In jazz you had, you know, the big orchestras, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, just to name two. In Latin, you had Machito, you had Tito Puente, Tito Rodriguez, the orchestras of those days, not to mention the big bands of Benny Moré in Cuba. So the amalgamation of jazz harmonies, jazz melodies, and Latin rhythms was, for me, just magic. And for everybody who, since those times, were part of what that meant, you know, integrating both styles and making such an incredible, you know, palette of colors and sounds. And now we have a history of so many people that have, you know, been part of what Latin jazz is. So I'm part of, you know, it's something that I've always, it's always been with me as a young musician in New York City, because we were listening to jazz as young musicians. You can't help, you know, you're aspiring to learn. You can't help but have your ear to the ground as to what jazz musicians were doing back in the 60s when I grew up.
Oh, yeah.
So we were listening to, like, you know, at that time as a pianist, people like obviously Herbie Hancock, Chick Corea, McCoy Tyner, just to name. Then, you know, I started, you know, saying, well, where did these guys come from? Then you go back and listen to Bud Powell, Art Tatum, you know, so many people, Tommy Flanagan, Wynton Kelly, yeah. All the amazing people that were part of the fabric of jazz. And so when you look at me as a musician, that's what I'm about, listening to all that. And I grew up with Latin music because it was part of every, it was the music I would hear from every other window and every other door where I grew up.
Mm.
So I couldn't help, you know, I got the bug at when I was 14, you know, listening to that music. But as you evolved as a musician, again, you're listening to people say, hey, have you heard this? Have you heard that in terms of what jazz musicians were doing? Namely, you have people like Cal Jader, Mongo Santa Maria, that were part of the early fabric of Latin jazz too. Willie Bobo. Just to mention a few, Herbie Mann, there were so many people that were part of that culture that as a musician, you couldn't help but be influenced. So that's how it started for me.
Well, and this new project, the Latin Jazz Project, I mean, that's the perfect lead-in to talk about it because, I mean, looking at the first you have the orchestra, the Spanish Harlem Orchestra, but then you have all of these guest artists, and it's really a lot of jazz musicians playing with the orchestra. Kurt Elling's on it, Miguel Zanon's on it, Tom Harrell, Dave Liebman, Bob Mincer, Joe Locke. These are all special guests on the recording. So how did this project come about? Because, you know, the Latin Jazz Project and bring in these special guest artists, did you conceive of that concept? Or were these artists that maybe you had played, you know, they played with the orchestra at one point in the past and you decided, you know what, we should record all of these guys on one recording?
Well, the truth of the matter is Spanish Harlem Orchestra has always had a jazz song in all of our records.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing all the major jazz festivals, you know, from the Monterey Jazz Festival to the North Sea Jazz Festival to the, Newport Jazz Festival,
yeah.
On and on, the Playboy Jazz Festival. Spanish Harlem Orchestra has performed at all the jazz festivals in the world. And we've always had a Latin jazz song. Basically, not only as our records, but in live performances, we wanted to feature the band in that light.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, if you're familiar with the band, the last record featured Randy Brecker on trumpet. The record before that featured Chick Corea and Joe Lovano. So we have a history of including jazz musicians. So this was a natural step for us, Mike. You know, mm-hmm. we finally wanted to get to the point where, you know, it was a natural step in our progression to say, well, let's dedicate a whole album's worth of music to Latin jazz. And you asked me about the musicians. I reached out to a number of musicians. Some of them said yes, everybody wanted to be part of it. Some of them couldn't because of their schedule, or we had there were a few other names that we also wanted to bring into the fold. But the people that finally made it to the record all unequivocally said, yes, we'd love to be part of it. You know, there's not a lot of money to pay these people, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So it was a labor of love on their part. And we're so grateful that they all said yes. And, you know, when I had the people that we chose that to say yes, I already had in mind what song I wanted to feature them on. Because we had the material worked out. So I recorded the record with the band. We went into the studio and recorded like we do live, because this is all live sessions.
Yeah.
And I had some of the guys do the solos as references. because we have great players in the band. And then I sent the tracks to all the individual artists who agreed, and they blew it out the water, man. What can I tell you? When you have people like Kurt Elling, Joe Locke, Tom Harrell, Bob Mensah, you know, I was there just going like, I never forget. Bob Mensah is here in L.A. He's one of my favorite sax players, you know, and he's a friend of mine, actually. So he was like, that was a no-brainer. He was like, what? Hell yeah. You know, when I asked him, would he do it? So he says, hey, there's a studio I use, this engineer. I said, let's do it. And I'm sitting there, and I send them the music, I send them the track, and I'm sitting there, and he's taking the first take, and I'm going like, I'm in heaven, you know? So, and he's going, you know, can I do another take? I said, you sure? He said, yeah, let me do another take. Then he had like 3-4 takes, and I said, man, Bob, come on in. This sounds amazing. Each take was just, you know, better than the other.
Yeah.
Or just as good as the other, you know?
That's one of the interesting things is that with this and this different group of musicians and the song selection that you came up with, this is not like a normal group of, you know, okay, well, let's put a band together. Let's put out an album and put on, there's some usual guys that are usually on it. These are really interesting musicians that are on here. And each tune, it seems to me, is almost like a signature tune that they really take ownership of, right? I mean, they really put their own brand and their own stamp on it. Like Kurt Elling, that sounds like Kurt Elling right there. That's it. And it sounds like he took his thing, right, and it fit right in with what the orchestra was doing.
That's a great point. And the truth of the matter is, I'm proud of that. Yeah. I'm proud that you can hear, it's Kurt Elling, but you also hear the Spanish orchestra. Mm-hmm. And both line of concept line really here. And I'm sure that when I reached out to Kurt Elling and I sent him, he heard it and went, wow, I don't know who these guys, I don't know if he knew who he were, but he says, man, I'd love to be part of what that is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's showing me in a different light than you would know. You would never see Kurt Elling singing in this style.
No.
So the truth of the matter is. So it's a beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful thing when it happens and it comes together like that. And for me, that's what it was about, trying to create a synergy between Spanish Harlem Orchestra and these great artists, you know, as players, as improvisers, you know. And, you know, for me, Mike, the proof of the pudding is at the end of the day, when I listen to the final tracks, I just go like, wow, I absolutely love what I'm hearing. I mean, I don't care if you love it, she loves it, they love it, he loves it. For me, I love it.
Yeah.
And I just go, I mean, so I'll put my money where my mouth is in terms of, you know, these, my chips are all on this in terms of, you know, it comes from a real place. Live, these are great musicians. Spanish Harlem Orchestra have some of the, you know, best musicians. And then we're combining them with these amazing jazz musicians. So it creates for a great record, and I'm really proud of what we accomplished, man.
Yeah, no, you should be, obviously, and everybody can go check it out. It's coming out May 22nd, I want to say, right? Is that correct?
Yes,
yeah, May 22nd.
That's correct.
And you go to SpanishHarlemOrchestra.com, and it's through Artist Share, actually. It's put out through Artist Share, which is a really interesting organization. Why don't you talk a little bit about Artist Share?
Well, ArtistShare is a label that was meant for musicians. These days, they're not your run-of-the-mill business label that just cares about it's a fan-funded label, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. People buy the record before it comes out, and then people could donate and have their name on the record. And there's a few little different ways you can go. But the truth of the matter is, for me, it was a way to get our record done on a really artist-friendly label, and we still own it. You know, I want to own my, you know, if you sign with another label, you don't own your masters. And I don't want, at this point, nobody owning my music, especially when I'm not getting paid enough for it. You know, if they were giving me, you know, $100,000, then maybe we can talk about they could own it, but that's not the case. So that's why Artist Share is a really good label, and they don't accept just anybody. They're very clear on just having a vision with the artist that they choose and a certain integrity and a certain quality that you'll find on the people of the catalog that Artists Share has. So proud to be associated with them.
Yeah, and actually, I mean, everybody that's watching this should really go and pick up a copy of the new release, because, I mean, Artists Share, I know that they've put out several different recordings that have come across my desk just in the past couple of months. So they're doing a lot, and really independent artists these days need labels or need platforms like this to get their music out, because otherwise the music wouldn't be getting out, because major labels, obviously we could talk about for 3 hours about the music industry and the major label situation. So, I mean, they just are not recording music the way they used to record music. So we need these platforms to be able to, for independent artists to get their music out there and promote it. And so we need to support that. So head over to SpanishHarlemOrchestra.com. So you can buy a copy when it comes out on May 22nd. Now, before we get off here, I want to talk a little bit about your history. So you grew up in the New York area in the 60s. That had to be like prime time, where you must have been going to clubs and seeing some of the legends that are no longer with us now. You must have been experiencing them live in the clubs. I mean, what a scene that must have been.
Well, you know, I tell people that New York, when I grew up, was crimey, grimy, and slimy. and it's the truth. But there were certain dynamics that were happening during those days that you couldn't help. There was such a rich palate. I mean, you could actually feel it was palpable, the different cultures that were happening in New York. And for Latino culture, it was an important time of the development of Latino culture in the 50s, 60s in New York City. And music was a huge part of that development. I mean, I can't even tell you. So, yes, when I grew up, Latin music, it wasn't called salsa in those days. That became later on with the advent of the commercial aspect of it. But Latin music, and I grew up in a family of 11 in the South Bronx. So I would see my oldest, and I was the youngest, I would see my oldest sisters and brothers getting ready on the weekends and getting dressed and to go partying to the music.
Yeah.
And there were social events everywhere involving the music. And when I started performing and playing professionally at the age of 16, 17, there were literally 40, 50 clubs in New York City that you can see the top bands. I mean, I can't even tell you. You walk into a club, and as soon as you walked in, you'd hear Ray Barretto killing it. You hear Tito Puente. You hear, there was so much music in those days. Willie Colon, Hector Lavoe, on and on. What that was incredibly special. I look back now. The education that I received as a young musician when I was 17 and 18, 19, 20, 21, playing with these musicians, you couldn't pay for at the best university.
Right.
So, I subsequently later on went to the university and got a degree in music, but it paled in comparison to the education that I got as a young musician playing with these incredible musicians that I got to perform with at 18, 19, 20. I was playing with Machito and Tito Puente and Celia Cruz at 21, 22. So, that was, I'm to this day so incredibly grateful, man. And it's part and parcel, you know, who I am as a musician. And when people tell me, well, Spanish Harlem Orchestra, where does it come from? It comes from my experience playing with all those great people. And it's a personification of that. You know, for me, I'm keeping the music alive on that level, because I'm at the age now where I've now experienced 40 something years have gone by, and I'm blessed to have the opportunity. You know, I feel that at this point in my life, I'm the connection.
Yeah.
You know, to those people that are not here anymore. You know, Tito Puente's not here, Ray Barretto's not here, Celia Cruz is not here, Machito's not here.
Right.
I can go on all the people that are not here that, you know, were part of my upbringing as a musician. But certainly, I hope that you can hear when you hear Spanish Harlem Orchestra.
Well, you know, with all of that, I mean, you're right. There's that bridge, and you're the bridge. I mean, because, you know, a lot of these people that go to school now, they go to college, even in the 90s and 2000s and all that stuff, they never will have that scene that you were in the middle of. You know, you can't watch YouTube videos to get the feel of what that was like, right? I mean, it's not going to happen. But
well, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube that's pretty incredible, I got to say. But the truth is, yes. I mean, for you to, you can't replicate, what that was. I mean, to actually be part of that scene as a young musician. I mean, and the truth is, I was playing, when I started at 18, 19, 20, I was playing 5, 6, 7 days a week in New York. And we'd be doing doubles and triples on the weekend. I'd be going from one club on a Friday night to another club that same night to another club. I mean, we playing with sometimes with two different bands.
Yeah.
So it was an amazing, there was so much music. I mean, there was so much happening with the culture and the music during those days that, yeah, it's a different era for sure we live in. And but I'm honored and I'm blessed to have lived that era and to still, you know, have it be such a close part of my heart, you know, and to keep doing it with my own band these days is, it's awesome. And sometimes people get it, sometimes they don't, but it's awesome when people do get it, because, you know, Spanish Harlem Orchestra is often playing jazz festivals or we're playing sit-down concerts. And I can't tell you, people at the end just come up to me like, wow, that's some of the best music I've ever heard. You know what I mean? So when you get that kind of reaction, it goes way beyond, you know, it just being a job or just a payday. You know, for me, it's a mission, you know, keeping the music alive and well and honoring the history and the legacy of what this music is.
Well, and I also think Spanish Harlem Orchestra, you guys are able to connect with that casual music fan because of the grooves and because of the energy that's in the music. You know, I mean, sometimes when people go to a jazz festival, you know, it's the jazz. Oh, great. It's a jazz thing. And you know what? Maybe it's a little avant-garde. Maybe they're playing ballads. Maybe it's slow or something. And the casual music fan can't connect necessarily. But every time I've seen any sort of Latin jazz orchestra, especially watching the Spanish Harlem Orchestra on some of the YouTube clips and everything, I mean, it's like, you guys hit the stage, like, you know, boom, we're just taking over, that's it. And I think that's one of the attractions, and that's probably one of the attractions of why the Latin jazz and the salsa and all of that really spans out over all of the different casual music fans and really brings them all in, because they're just interested. It's grooving and it's really good. And then they kind of come down the wormhole into what you guys are really playing and understanding what's happening. So, I mean, I can see why you guys would be playing at all of these legendary jazz festivals throughout the entire world, because I mean, just watching some of the YouTube clips of you guys playing live, it's just like, who wouldn't want to feel that?
Well, the thing is that it brings a different element. You know, we're playing at a jazz festival and you have a lot of great jazz artists that are going on before us, and as great as they sound amazing. I'm there, you know, on the side of the stage just observing, you know, these people that I love. But when we go on, there's an added element that you didn't hear before that, before we got on that stage. So, and they're also hearing great musicianship. So if they're fans, most jazz fans are fans of and supporters of great musicianship. They cannot help but acknowledge that they're hearing great musicianship when they hear Spanish Harlem Orchestra. So that speaks to them. And then what you have, the added element of the Latin rhythms and, you know, the great percussionists and the three singers bringing it, you know, the chemistry between the arrangements and the horns and the rhythm section and the singers, man, it's a beautiful thing. And I could tell you, we played some places. I'll give you an example. We went to St. Louis and we played, I forgot the name of the hall now. But I said, who are we going to play for in St. Louis? Jeez, I wonder. And it was a hall that held about 800 people.
Mm-hmm.
And we start performing. The fourth song, the whole audience just got up and started giving us a standing ovation. I'm going like, and we're looking at each other and says, wow. I mean, we're, as a band and as individual members in the band, we're clear about putting it out there. You know what I mean? About representing. So, and I think the audience can feel that, you know, it's not a payday for us. We love this music, man. There's a real passion that we bring to the table, and I don't want to deal with musicians who don't see it on that level, you know, so it's a beautiful thing, man.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on the new recording. So it's Latin Jazz Project by the Spanish Harlem Orchestra with special guests, Kurt Elling, Miguel Zanon, Tom Harrell, Dave Liebman, Bob Mincer, Joe Locke, and of course, Oscar Hernandez is leading the whole thing on piano and killing it throughout. So everybody head over to Spanish Harlem Orchestra www.dizzygillespie.com. And I would plug the fact that you have performances and stuff coming up, but because of COVID-19, nobody has performances and everything. How are you hanging in, and how's everybody in the orchestra hanging in during this time? I'm assuming you probably had a full schedule of festivals all summer, and those have all gone by the wayside for the most part.
Yeah, they've disappeared, and they're disappearing as we speak. So this is not an easy time. If you had told me 4 months, 5 months ago that I'd be collecting unemployment, I would have never believed that. But I mean, thank God for unemployment, to be honest with you. Nevertheless, I'm staying active. I'm composing. I'm arranging. I'm writing tunes for different people. I have a few productions besides this one that are coming out that I'm proud of. So the musicians, I've told them to apply for grants. I've told them to get on unemployment. And we're hanging in there best, you know, as best we can. But it's certainly not easy, man. And for those people, you know, I'll take advantage of the spotlight. For those people that are still working, it's important that you support the arts.
Yep.
I can't tell you, because if we don't get supported as good as we are, we're not going to be able to do it. You know, and I think that we need for people to really support this, not only financially, but in a very, you know, spiritual way, as, you know, people who are looking for good quality things. And I thank God, I always say thank God for the intelligent, discerning people that go beyond the commercial BS that they're fed out there.
Yes.
To find us and a lot of other good music.
Yeah.
And you guys at, you know, Chicago Jazz Magazine do an incredible job. So, and you, thank you, Mike, because, you know, you're often the lifeblood, in a sense, the lifeblood of what we do, you know, and the people who support us and support this music are the lifeblood of what we do. And we need to keep it happening, man. So I'm honored to be able to keep the music alive and putting it on the pedestal I feel it merits to be.
Yep.
You know, when people ask me the sound of Spanish Harlem Orchestra and why it sounds the way it does, first of all, when it comes to Latin music, you know, oftentimes what you're hearing is commercial Latin music, where people they play to a click track and one instrument is done at a time. Well, we don't do that. We go back to, I used to go back, the six records I recorded with Ray Barreto or with Ruben Blades, or all those records that I recorded, we used to do them live.
Yeah.
So that's the way I learned it, you know.
Yep.
People don't do records like that anymore. So I'm honored to keep the tradition alive and well, and you're hearing a raw, organic, sophisticated energy, you know, that we represent as far as our music. So it's a cool thing, man.
No, it is. And you brought up a great point, because I always try to reiterate that on this show, is that during this time, first of all, this has never happened before ever as far as the COVID-19 thing. So it's not like even the financial crisis where you might say, okay, there's still some business, there's still some festivals, there's still something happening. This just wiped everything out for musicians, for artists, for entertainers, and club owners and venue owners and the staff that are there and the people that run all the backline for these artists and everything. So, you know, the one thing that I always tell everybody, and I know you probably reiterated as well, is that, you know, we've all got to stay together as a community, and we need the people that love the arts during normal times to really come together to help keep this thing happening, because we might come out of this, if that doesn't happen, in a situation where we're going to lose 10 or 15 years worth of clubs and venues that have built up because they just can't sustain. So I think that we've all got to kind of stick together and keep pushing forward. And you made a great point. If you're working, support the artist, buy an extra CD, buy a couple of merchandise things, get out there, maybe grab a GoFundMe, do something like that to keep this thing sustainable, so that when we get out of this, we can keep moving forward.
And, you know, the truth of the matter is, I always say I put my money where my mouth is. I could have chose not to put this record out now.
Right.
I could have said, well, with COVID-19, I'm not going to put it out. I'm going to hold it off. And I said, you know what? I don't care. It was scheduled to come out in May, and I'm going to put it out. I want the people, maybe now is a good time, because people, you know, are looking for stuff. And I'm just going to keep going like if nothing happened, and keep representing like if nothing happened, and keep, you know, my enthusiasm and my faith like if nothing happened.
Yep.
I'm committed to the music, and I'm not going to let it stop. I'm not going to let COVID-19 stop me. It's not easy. I got to say, it's not easy. Like I said, I would have never thought I'd never collect unemployment in my life.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, I'm collecting unemployment now, and I'm fine. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me, you know, because there's a lot of people a lot worse off than me and us. So I feel blessed to be able to put out a record in this time with these circumstances, you know, despite these circumstances. So,
Well, you definitely have a captive audience because everybody's at home looking for new stuff. That's why I started this show to kind of connect everybody so they could check out new stuff because they can't go out to a club and see anybody play, so they might as well check it out. So SpanishHarlemOrchestra.com, pick up the new release, Latin Jazz Project. Oscar, go ahead.
Also, remind people that I have two projects out as a solo pianist.
Yes.
On Origin Records. One is called The Art of Latin Jazz, Oscar Hernandez, and the other one is called Love the Moment. They're both, you can find them on OscarHernandezMusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Again, OscarHernandezMusic.com. And that's all my original music. I'm really proud to say that, you know, my last record, Love the Moment, was voted one of the best releases by Downbeat Magazine. So I'm proud of the statement I'm making with that as well. But again, thank you. Look, May 22nd, Spanish Harlem Orchestra, the Latin Jazz Project on Artist Share Records. Thank you for the time and the space and for the love, brother. I'll be supporting you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. And God knows we need to have people educated about, you know, the arts and about what good music is. And it's out there. You just have to, you know, find it.
You got to find it. And I appreciate you taking time today. And hopefully we will meet in person in Chicago at a live performance sometime soon rather than later. Thanks again, Oscar.
From your mouth to God, brother. God bless you.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Take care.
Oscar Hernandez. Wow. I'm telling you, you've got to check out this orchestra. So it's the SpanishHarlemOrchestra.com. First of all, go on YouTube and see some of the live stuff because it's on fire, man. It is on fire. Oscar's killing piano players. So like what he said, OscarHernandezMusic.com. Check out some of his original recordings. They're on Origin, great label as well, independent label. So support that. And I'm telling you, if you want to sit back, you want to groove, you can't go out, you can't go to a club, you know, maybe get a cocktail, sit out on your patio, the sun's out, and throw on one of these recordings, and you're going to groove all afternoon, let me tell you. So I thank you to Oscar Hernandez, and thanks to Lydia Liebman for setting that up. She's been a rock star, hooking us up with different artists from around the country, so it's been awesome. We've got a great packed schedule for next week. I believe we're going to be launching that tomorrow. I'll talk a little bit about a couple of our guests next week. But again, we're changing the time to 6 p.m. Chicago time starting next week, every day at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. Now tomorrow we have Harar, who is our Hararitarian, Dr. Hararitarian. He's going to be on. He's been our reviewer at Chicago Jazz Magazine for about 4 or 5 years, but he's also a brain surgeon. And he has an incredible story. He loves writing reviews on jazz because he loves the music. And he actually is from Lebanon, and he went to jazz clubs during the Civil War in Lebanon while he was getting his degree, his medical degree in Lebanon. He's got an incredible story, so we're going to pick his brain a little bit. No pun intended, huh? No pun intended. But we'll talk about the new releases that he just kind of hooked up. And then it just reviewed. And then also we will touch base and learn a little bit about his background because it's fascinating. I had him on the old video show and we talked a little bit and he was telling me these stories that are incredible about being there during the war and actually being in a jazz club during a bombing and all of this incredible stuff. So we'll see what we can get out of him tomorrow, but it's going to be fascinating. So tune back in tomorrow at 4 p.m. right here, Chicago Music Revealed. Chicago Jazz Magazine. And again, I thank everyone for watching. Head over to epiphanyshy.com as well. Check out the venue that's going to be opening up here in September. Events, entertainment, and art. It's right there in the West Loop, and I'm proud to be a part of that entire mission as well. And we've got a lot of great stuff about to happen over there. So I got to plug that so that we can get the word out about that before we open up. And until next time, as I always say, I appreciate everyone watching, everyone listening. Please leave a comment. Please share this thing. If you like what you're hearing, share it. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, call the grandkids. And I almost forgot, but tomorrow, in addition to Harar, We're also going to have Dave Katzman on. I forgot. I mentioned it yesterday and I forgot, but Dave Katzman's going to be on with his Blues in Chicago and Beyond hit as well. So we're going to find out what's going on in the blues scene as well. So I apologize to Dave, but I got it in before the show ended. So killer. We actually had a couple of killer segments the past couple of weeks. So tune in 4 o'clock tomorrow. And as I always say, if you like what you hear, tell the neighbors, tell your family, call the grandkids. Tomorrow, 4 p.m., Chicago Music Revealed right here on Chicago Jazz Magazine and Chicago Music Revealed. And until next time, stay safe. We'll see you at the next broadcast.